Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Where to Go. I'm James Atkinson, brand manager at DK Eyewitness.
And I'm Danielle Watt, project editor at DK Eyewitness.
And a huge Where to Go welcome to Danielle, who you might have heard on our previous summer episode a couple of weeks ago. So Danielle is joining us as our guest host today. And part of the reason for that, as well as Danielle being a brilliant editor at DK Eyewitness, she also has recently moved up to Edinburgh. Is that right?
That is right, James. That is very true.
I mean, I say that. I know the answer. I know that you have moved up to Edinburgh.
Oh, yeah, true.
But you were also from Edinburgh originally.
Yes. I'm originally from Edinburgh, and then I moved to London about 5 years ago. Spent a good five years, you know, living in London, working in London. Had a great time. But, you know, I think it happens to a lot of people from Edinburgh, really, but felt the pull of the city and decided what better time to move than during a global pandemic. probably not the most logical decision of my life. But, I'm now living back in Edinburgh and just really patiently waiting for life to go back to normal.
And I guess this episode might be of particular interest to you as well, because we've got a brilliant guest on today who we'll introduce in a second. But I guess you haven't really, you've probably only just got round to sort of exploring Edinburgh again afresh, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I know it really well. And this is where I grew up, and this is like my old stomping ground. But, you know, things, you know, 5 years, things change a lot. And since moving up, obviously, restaurants have been closed, bars have been closed. You can't go out and enjoy the city in the same way. So I'm super, super keen to hear from Dana and get all her recommendations on where to go and what to do and kind of local things that are happening and what's going on in the city, because, you know, we're poised on reopening and it's exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. I mean, fingers crossed. Huge fingers crossed.
This could be a famous last words situation, but hopefully not.
hopefully not. And hopefully everything is kind of looking back on track in Edinburgh. And that actually brings us on to today's guest, who's actually a food and drink expert and journalist, Dana McAlpine. So welcome, Dana.
Welcome, Dana.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Are you ready for an Edinburgh enlightenment of all things Edinburgh?
It's definitely an Edinburgh overload for James today. He's ready. As we normally start things off on the podcast, we'll hear from Dana what the city is normally like outside of the context of the pandemic. And then we'll briefly discuss the impact of COVID on the city before finishing off on a more hopeful note about future travel to Edinburgh.
And just for context, we're recording this in mid-July 2021, at a time when Scotland and the UK have been largely successful in rolling out the COVID-19 vaccine, but the country is still seeing a sharp rise in cases.
Right, Dana, let's chuck you right in. So your mates are coming to stay in Edinburgh for the weekend. They've never been to the city. What is on your absolute must-do, can't-leave-without list?
Okay, this sounds very cliche. I know, well, this
no
is,
pressure.
No, but you know what? When you're a food and drink writer in Edinburgh and a lifestyle writer in Edinburgh, I don't just get asked this on a daily basis from my friends. I get asked this on, like, a friends of friends. Like, my you should see the state
yeah,
of my...
I can imagine.
You should, honestly, I should be a holiday planner at this point. If you saw the state of my DMs, it is just a flood of people being like, hi, Dana, I don't know you, but could you give me some guidance? So if you were coming to Edinburgh, if one of the first things, especially if it's good weather, I think one of the best things you can do is go up Arthur's Seat and get right to the top of Arthur's Seat. For context, Arthur's Seat is the gigantic extinct volcano right in the centre of, like, Edinburgh and Holyrood Park. And it has the most amazing view of the whole capital that you can see. And it really makes you just realise the sort of mashup of Edinburgh as well, because Edinburgh is split into the new town and the old town, and you can really see that divide between the two of it, where you can look to your left and see all this beautiful historic building, and then look to the right and you can see these, like, amazing cobbled streets, but also the huge clash of cultures with the banana flats and Leith, which are this ancient tower block. And it just gives you this amazing idea of the scape of, you know, the sort of whole scope of Edinburgh and what it actually is. And then I would take you straight back down Arthur's Seat, safely. Safely, which takes a bit, it's like a good...
And it's not too much of a hike either, is it?
I'd say, like, if you're doing it, like, the right way. There's, like, everyone in Edinburgh has an opinion on the route you should take up Arthur's Seat for the best view and, like, what you should do with it. And you have to, tourist dodge the whole way up as well, because it is, like, one of the best places mm-hmm. to go in Edinburgh that's, like, a sort of non-commercial thing to do. From there, I think you have to explore the old town and new town separately. It's not like other cities where you're like, bang, let's go to the city centre and let's go to Shoreditch, or let's, you know, in the case of London. And Edinburgh is a network of many neighbourhoods, and each one brings a completely different thing. So you have to base it on what your friends are about. You know, are they shoppers? In that case, let's go to the Grass Market and go to Westport and go to the old Independence. Are you really food heavy, in which case you're probably my best mate, because that's going to be great news for me. Let's go into the new town and go to all the little eateries that are popping up these days, or let's head down Leith, which is really neighbourhoodly, and go to the shore, and, you know, go to all these little local pubs and restaurants, and maybe go out to Portobello, which is our nearest sort of big beach, and hang out there for a bit. I am a very anti-tourist in that when I lived in London, I never wanted to go on the London Eye. Like, I want to see things from a local's perspective of what they would take me to do. So that's what I always say to my friends. Like, sure, if you want to go to Edinburgh Dungeons, great, I'll meet you afterwards. But that's not where I'm going to take you.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you to my favourite neighbourhoods and take you to these amazing little shops and little galleries and do Arthur's Seat, which is the one thing I totally will include in the very touristy stuff to do in Edinburgh.
Definitely, yeah. That's what people want as well, isn't it? When they go to a new place, like, having a local person show you around is just, like, it's just priceless, isn't it? You get to see so much more than you would if you just rocked up. And
it's a totally different way of viewing it. Like, anyone can, you know, read an article of, like, the 10 best places to go. But unless it's written by a local and someone from the city, it's usually, like, you're not getting the real word of mouth experience. We, you know, locals in Edinburgh know when stuff's happening. We can tell
100%.
You the newest openings and what the public opinion is of it, as opposed to, like...
Oh, yeah, they'll definitely... You know. They all have an opinion on it as well. Very strong opinions up here.
Okay, so, Dana, now you've kind of... Now we're familiar with the city. What are some of the kind of lesser known parts or some of its best kept secrets? Obviously, if you're willing to share with us.
Oh, I'm going to be absolutely killed by everyone in Edinburgh if anyone hears this. But they've told them everything.
We'll try and keep it quiet. You know, just us and our listeners.
So, like I was saying before, again, Edinburgh is this interconnected city of little mini neighbourhoods. I'm not talking, like, mm-hmm. again, I'm using London as an example, but it's not like when you go to London, you've got Borough, which is, like, humongous. Like, it's just, like, a couple of streets teamed together which give you that area. So,
yeah,
I am very biased because I live there, but I think Leith is Edinburgh's worst kept secret in terms of locals, because you won't often find a lot of tourists in Leith. But when you see your friends or you're looking for somewhere to go or you're looking to have like a day out, a lot of people in the capital will flock to this neighbourhood in the north of Edinburgh, which is like against the coast. And the variety of things you can do here is just amazing. You know, you've got so many incredible local businesses. That's one thing about Leith that I'm just so passionate about, is the fact that you're not walking past tons of like chain high streets, like they're chain high street stores. It's just tons of tiny businesses and everyone knows each other, and there is such a community feel of Leith. Like if you are in Leith, you are a Leither, and like it's such a beautiful community and mixed. It's just, it's absolutely brilliant. So I think that is probably the best kept secret of Edinburgh, that you could easily spend a day in this neighbourhood and go to the beach, go for a walk along a canal, you know, see, go to a museum, go to, there's so many little miniature art galleries here, go for dinner, go for lunch, and then go to the pub and go to several, if you're me.
that's really cool, because Leith is like kind of historically kind of almost a regenerated bit of Edinburgh as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite an interesting generation as well, in that, you know, Leith is very, well, it's the home of train spotting.
Yes.
You know, it's
the home of train spotting.
And for years it had this these connotations that it was the rough part of the city. And in fact, it's never been the rough part of the city. It's just not as, like, marketed as well, or like promoted out there as much. You cannot find a stronger sense of community. You go to a pub and you ask the, you know, the barman, where should you go for a drink next? And it's not, well, you should be having a pint here or another one. It's like, oh, our mates run that one down the road, and they'll be like, oh, if you're going to go for food, go over there. Or are you going to this? Oh, do that over there. Like, it's a complete groupthink of a neighbourhood. And it's just funny that, you know, people are saying that it's being regenerated, but actually the community are so involved in it that, you know, when buildings try and get shut down and regenerated into something maybe a bit more commercial, they stop it. Like, the power of Leith stops it and opposes it.
Yeah,
until
it's a really powerful community, isn't it?
Until it's forced. Like, these are the people who go on planning permissions and, you know, will comment in their hundreds and then be like, no, this is not what you're doing to our neighbourhood. This is how, you know, we're going to keep Leith alive, and this is what we're going to do with it. If you look at the, for anyone listening, if you look up the Save Leith Walk campaign, that'll give you a massive idea of just how brilliant this area of Edinburgh is.
So it's less of a regeneration and more the people have cottoned on to that kind of community and the sort of spirit.
Yeah,
there,
definitely.
Cool.
And when a new business opens, it isn't met with that like traditional, oh no, not, you know, that's a competitor. Our competitor has moved in. You know, a new pizza shop opens and the other Italian's like, hey, welcome for coming to Leith. How is it? How are you enjoying it? If you need anything, give me a shout. It's just such a different... And that expands into the whole of Edinburgh's hospitality scene, to be honest. But I think on a local level, you really feel it in Leith.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with you on that, Dina.
Yeah.
If you're actually in Leith, like where are one or two of your favourite sort of like secret spots as well?
Okay, so...
Or is this too much detail? Is this a...
No, this is fine. This is fine. I'm in a very generous mood today, so you've caught me. You've caught me at the right time. Anyone who's listening to this who knows me will be cracking themselves up when I say this, but my local is Nauticus, where you will find me consistently because, you know, again, it's that community. I know the owners, I know the staff, all of our friends from other venues, most of my friends work in hospitality. We all gather at Nauticus. Nauticus is the sister bar of Panda and Sons and Hoot the Redeemer, which are two really famous cocktail bars in the city centre. Anyone who's been to Edinburgh has probably been to one of those two bars, but this is actually the community pub in Leith that is the sister bar of this, and you will always find me there. But also, you'll also find everyone who works in hospitality who live in Leith there as well. So it's a great place to go and have a pint of Tennent's, but also an incredibly well-crafted cocktail. Usually best enjoyed with one in each hand, I must admit.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah, I'd go there. And also one of my other favourite businesses would have to be the Mother Superior, which is literally takes its name from train spotting, which is a whiskey bar that's newly opened on Leith Walk, which is headed up by Jane Nolan, who is a female heavyweight in whiskey. Like, it's a brilliant place to go to get a whiskey education, which I think, again, is something so different for this neighbourhood that people immediately sometimes have these weird connotations of. Like, you can go and be educated on drams in this amazing bar that's just been revamped. And it's not a fuss. You can tell them what you like, and that you can, even if you aren't a whiskey drinker, they will help you find something that might be a good gateway for you. It's where I take a lot of, like, my non-Scottish friends. If, like, we're coming, if they're down visiting me here in Leith, we'll go into the city centre, obviously, and go over to the Old Town and visit all these different areas. But if we're just wanting to hang about near where I am, it's such an interesting experience to go and do.
That's really cool. So we've kind of, like, done drinking now. We know exactly, if anyone wants to track you down, they can find you in those two spots. What about food? Are there any, like, particular, like, kind of, obviously there's many restaurants you can recommend in particular, but give us one or two maybe in the whole of Edinburgh.
Okay, so this tough choices. So with this is the thing again, it's that whole neighborhood. Like, if I was going to, you know, Gorgay, I'd say, you know, let's go to La Casa, or if we were going, you know, down here in Leith, I'd be like, let's go to Little Chart Room. So it really, it's one of those things that depends. But if you said to me, okay, you're taking us on a night out, which maybe who knows, one day I will. Maybe you'll get to come visit.
But if I was
taking you on a night out, if I was taking you for dinner, I would straight away go to either Noto, which is headed up by Stuart Ralston, who was on Great British Menu really recently. Also another Great British Menu contestant, Roberta Hall, who has Little Chart Room on Leith Walk. The food is just so seasonal and fresh and amazing and just beautifully prepared. Cool. And then Fior, which is on Broughton Street, which is all about tasting menus and foraging and, again, local produce, and it has a real Scottish feel to it. So those are probably the three places I'd maybe take you for food.
Really cool. So both are kind of almost secrets in a way.
If we're doing more of a daytime getaway and something different, just to chill out a little bit basically and have a bit more of a relaxed day. I personally, which is something we do many, like we've done many weekends within my friendship group, is walk from Edinburgh to Portobello, which is just the most beautiful walk. So Portobello is our local coastal, it's kind of part of Edinburgh, part of not. Someone's going to absolutely message me after this podcast and be like, how dare you, to imply we're a separate entity. But Portobello is on the cusp of Edinburgh, and it's a really beautiful walk to go out there. And then a lot of businesses in Edinburgh have also moved, you know, to stands on the promenade as well. So you can go down there and get my dream morning, I was to wake up with a cracking hangover, which I've never done before, obviously.
Never. None of us have.
Never. This is a responsible place.
You're always there in a professional capacity, right?
Obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would get up, I would walk down to Portobello Beach, and it's just beautiful. I'd run straight into the sea and do wild swimming. You literally can't move for wild swimmers on Portobello Beach at the best of times. And then Chivarino's, which is a heavyweight in Edinburgh's restaurant scene. Chivarino's are all about pizzas and good times. They're open from early in the morning and they serve breakfast pizzas. And we're talking, like, they have black pudding and fried eggs and all sorts on them. So straight in the sea, a strong coffee, maybe a Bloody Mary with it, and a big fat slice of, like, this breakfast pizza would be my complete way to spend the day. And then from there, go and explore Portobello. Portobello has become so up and coming in terms of all the businesses that are there. There's so many amazing things you can go and do in Portobello now. So that would be, like, my dream hangover day, to be, like, near the sea, lots of little places to browse, but not too much pressure. But we can, like, chill on the beach if we want to, or pick up a bit of breakfast pizza and just blow the cobwebs away.
That sounds dreamy.
Well, I was saying to Danielle before we did this episode that I can never remember names of places that I've actually been to in Edinburgh, because usually they're pubs. But actually, I did go to Portobello with a friend.
Guys, I think we're going to need a drink responsibly.
I know,
I think I'm gonna, this podcast.
note to drink responsibly, listener. But Portobello is absolutely stunning. I went with my friend who used to live there. And I remember we got sort of stuck in another pub called the Dalrydo, which has loads of amazing beers, and is just kind of, it's a mixture of kind of trad and modern. It's kind of, as you said, like big, like old boys and kind
mishmash
of new communities and people coming in from the city as well.
Well, that's the thing with Portobello. They've got these amazing, like, they've got an amazing beer shop now. They've got their very own pasta shop in the form of Amelia, who are, like, famous in Edinburgh for their local pasta. But they've got their very own store now in Portobello. You know, and if you're feeling a bit fancy, which we have done, again, even with a hangover a few times, is Little Chart Room that I mentioned earlier have got their own stand on the prom. It's quite literally called the Little Chart Room on the prom. And, you know, you can get a lobster roll and a glass of Prosecco and sit and look, you know, in front of the sea and just be like, oh, this is a dream. As if I'm near Edinburgh. It feels like I'm out, you know, way, way out of town.
That's it. It feels like it's miles away from the city. And yeah, it's not really. It's not.
It's not at all. But, you know, with not being able to travel, it really gives you, you know, Costa del Portobello vibes. Yeah. As if you're
exactly.
As if you're away.
I love that. Costa del Porti.
I'm imagining it's pretty hot out there at the minute as well. So surely today would be a perfect day for you to head down there and have a lobster roll and a Prosecco.
Oh, that was my Sunday. That was my Sunday.
Oh, nice.
I said, that's my favourite thing to do on a day where you just don't want to be in amongst the rush of it all.
I'm glad we're not keeping you from it. That's good to know. Cool. Well, with that like kind of intro to Edinburgh, we'll go on next to discuss a little bit about how the past year has been. Interested in planning a trip to Scotland? Get close to your next adventure with our DKR Witness or Top 10 Guides. Find them in all good bookshops or via the link in our episode bio. So we're now going to touch a little bit on life in Edinburgh during the pandemic. So Dana, I kind of want to start with one of the big things that people talk about with Edinburgh is obviously the Fringe and events and kind of live music and nightlife and so on, as we've kind of talked about in that first section. And I guess, you know, a lot of these things have been closed, cancelled and so on in this past year. What kind of impact has that had on the residents of the city?
It's obviously, well, I mean, I think like for everywhere, it's just been massive, especially in our, well, for Edinburgh, especially our tourism industry. We're the capital of Scotland. You know, it was such a strange thing during the pandemic when you were able to go out on a walk up the Royal Mile to the castle and see no one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is like one of the rarest things ever. It was almost so discombobulating because the Royal Mile, especially if anyone listening has ever been to the Fringe, is the main hub of the Fringe. Like, you can't walk more than like 10 feet without being handed a flyer for a show. So to then see your city, which buzzes with energy, to be so quiet was just so shocking almost. But then there's been such a massive response from especially the hospitality industry in terms of persevering and adapting to get around these things, which I'm just so in awe of constantly. So our nightclubs are not allowed to open even at level zero in Edinburgh. We can't go out. There is still no dancing or anything. So a lot of nightclubs in Edinburgh, I think, are almost like the best representation of how Edinburgh's attitude has been, in that Sneaky Pete's, one of our most famous sweatbox, live music, amazing DJs, nightclub has pivoted into a late night bar that sells pizza. That's so that they can get their way through the pandemic.
Fantastic.
You can sit, the dance floor in Sneaky Pete's famously had to be redone because people danced so hard the cobbles underneath the building started coming through the dance floor. 100% true. So to sit and have dinner and like a pint on that dance floor in a booth is so mad. But then you look at it and you go, well, this totally sums up how people are getting through this. They're adapting and overcoming however we can. And obviously there has been tragedies along the way. We've lost some really amazing businesses as well, but even the aftermath of that represents Edinburgh. So during the pandemic, Henderson's, which, if you ask a person in Edinburgh, what veggie vegan restaurant would you recommend? The word is instantly Henderson's. Yeah. There is no, it has been, my mum used to go to it when she was a teen, her mum went, it has been around for ages. And when it shut down because of the pandemic, it was like a citywide shock. It was like, surely not, and we can't possibly do this. And I mean, you know, we lost many other amazing businesses along the way. Mm-hmm. But here we are now in July and stuff's reopening. And the grandson of the family who ran Henderson's has come out and said, actually, I'm going to open it again. and I've been trying to get it reopened, and it's going to come back, and it's going to be slightly different, and it's going to be in a different area of town to you're used to, but we can't lose this.
Cool.
And again, I think that's so representative of Edinburgh and how it's coped through the pandemic, that on one hand it's been so shocking and terrifying, but you've got this ultimate energy of people trying to overcome it and support each other as well.
I think that kind of it shows a true sort of food and drink cultured city in a way, when people really fight and they're sad to lose a restaurant like that and want it to come back and can support it coming back.
I know I'm obviously talking about this from like a food and drink element, but it's not just within the industry. I mean, people were actively speaking out, as in locals.
Mm.
You know, you're sitting at home, okay, you know, you think to yourself, okay, I'm saving tons of money because I'm not out on the lash every night like I usually am. But you'd go on Twitter and Instagram and social, you know, any social media, and people were actively encouraging each other to support local.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so you're not going out. Well, make sure you don't just go, oh, I'll save that money. Like, support your favourite takeaway. Support your cocktail bar that you go to normally that's now doing takeaway drinks. Support your restaurant that's now doing at-home dining kits. Like, let's keep Edinburgh going, because we've lost that massive drive of tourism. It's now our responsibility to keep it going. This is our city.
And so the city's almost kind of reclaimed a little bit.
It is something that that like the locals have taken to really happily as well. Like, it's not, you know, they really want to support these places and they really want to make sure that they stay for them as well. And, you know, it's not just the businesses doing it, like you say, Dana. They just had to adapt to this new kind of way of, this new normal, I suppose, is what everyone keeps saying. But can I touch on, you mentioned obviously the tourist kind of influx, especially in the summer, isn't, you know, it didn't happen last year. But a rise in staycations obviously was a huge thing in the UK. Did you notice a difference, you know, during that summer, where, you know, and now I suppose as well, of people from the UK staycationing in Edinburgh, and is it starting to get busy again? Like, what are your thoughts on that, Dana?
Massively. It was such a novelty in August last, well, for, if you're an Edinburgh local, you spend half your time when the fringe is on going, oh my God, there's so many people out there. But on the other side of it, you live off the buzz of it. The city is electric for those 30 days that the fringe runs. The whole city buzzes with energy. And although there's a bit longer wait for your bar, or you're having to like queue for stuff, or the streets feel really busy, or you're constantly giving directions, there is something very electric about it. So it was almost weird in August last year, where all the voices you're hearing are just English, Welsh and Scottish accents. You know, this is like the international festival where you'd meet friends, and like you'd finish the festival following like 40 people you'd met randomly from all over the world over those 30 days that you've gotten chatting to. And although there was running jokes between Edinburgh locals of like, oh, we'll finally get some peace in August, it also suddenly just felt heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
And although it was great getting to enjoy what's on your doorstep, and again, like I was saying before, you've really reclaimed Edinburgh, like, this is our city and this is what we're going to do with it, it was so odd just having these slow trickles of tourism. And you almost felt a bit scared of tourists being there as well, because, you know, stuff did change so much with COVID that it was almost strange going up Arthur's Seat and see it, and like hearing people who weren't from Edinburgh, and you're kind of going, oh, that's really weird. Especially when for a long time we didn't even have inter-council area travel.
Yeah, yeah. Which meant that it was like, literally only someone from Edinburgh who was able to go up there, I guess.
Yeah. So talk about having to like put the emphasis on the people who are already there, because tourism had been decimated for a city that thrives on tourism.
Yeah, because I guess I was thinking just then from what you said, like that the Fringe Festival is, you know, whereas it's about, you know, theatre and comedy and stuff, it's also just a celebration of the city, right? It's an excuse for everyone around the world to come to Edinburgh. And that's
completely
a huge hole for all of those local businesses, but also, you know, for the city feeling empty, I guess.
And it's not just the Fringe for us either. That's the thing. Like, it's a common misconception. It's not just the Fringe that brings in a lot of tourism for us. Christmas and December in general also generates a huge surge of business for Edinburgh. We, again, not to the extent of the Fringe, obviously, which is an international, quite literally global event, but in Christmas, at Christmas time, we get a lot more like UK staycations in terms of, you know, a lot of people will come up or down from the Highlands in that case to like be in Edinburgh for the Christmas markets, for the shopping, but also like the atmosphere. And because we were locked down last Christmas and there was, you know, we had, you know, how many people are you allowed to see on Christmas Day and it's 24 hours. Again, something just felt so sad walking through the city centre and all the stuff that you've seen every single year since you like can basically remember. If you live in Scotland, you're spending your, you know, that's like a classic like Sunday out, day out with the family is let's go to the Christmas markets or go ice skating or do something or just walk about and feel the energy of like Christmas in Edinburgh. That was gone.
Yeah.
And again, if you felt almost like you just were like, oh, well, okay, there's no tourism. That's it. There's nothing.
And has like have things kind
it's
of
mad,
started to come back now? Have you know? I know. There's still a variant around, and still things ongoing and stuff. But has it started to recover?
In some ways, it has. In some ways, it hasn't. Because there's definitely still not that international push of people coming, and there's also a hesitance when you do realise that someone's there.
Yeah,
and like an almost like. It's a weird thing when you don't want tourism. It's a very strange thing to be in a city that runs on tourism and be worried about tourism because you're worried about COVID.
Yes, yeah, yeah. It's an unfortunate...
Obviously, all you want is we want things to go back to normal. And especially in the city, you can see everyone flocking out to, like, have a really good time. I don't think Edinburgh will fully get its buzz back completely, though, until we're able to have all the visitors we've always been able to.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Until
you need that mix, don't you? It's such a like you say, Dana. It's such an international place, and I think it feeds off that energy. And so many people from so many different parts of the world bring their own stamp on the city. And I think that it really feels lacking when you don't have that.
Also,
we need to be able to dance. You know, like we need to be able to dance. To me, like we can't just stand in a room and not dance.
Yeah,
oh,
you can't just you can't just give up at 1 o'clock or whatever.
No, not at all.
Yeah, yeah.
I know.
But it's also important to remember that Edinburgh has a massive like international student population as well, and a lot of people are now remote learning.
Yeah.
So that other part of like Edinburgh's rich international culture has also vanished, and it just shows like how important it is for us to have, you know, this mix of tourism and international residents of Edinburgh. And now it's just, I know, I'm so excited for when the Fringe is coming back. This is being aired in August. Like, the Fringe will be back in a mild capacity. I'm saying mild capacity.
I don't think there's anything.
Loads of shows.
There's nothing mild about the Fringe, though, really. I'm sure even
in a
paled down version, it'll still be pretty busy.
But a lot, they're not expecting the same volume of tourists. And I just, what I'm really holding out for is that first Fringe.
Yeah.
When we can really have a big global party in our capital city.
Well, here's to that. Let's look forward to that for
here's
sure.
Here's to that.
Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Dana, so as the city and the country is gradually unlocking and things are opening up, what might international travellers find has changed when they, you know, when they come back over and when tourism kind of starts up again.
If they ask for a recommendation, they're only going to get offered a local business. And if you ask if you ask us directions to like a massive chain, we'll be like, oh, that's nice, but can we interest you in X instead? I also think they'll be met with like a massive sense of enthusiasm more so than ever before, because I feel like tourism enthusiasm has always been part of Scottish culture, in that we are ridiculously welcoming. We are stupidly welcoming. We're literally like, you know, always one step away from offering someone a cup of tea that you've met on the street. But again, there's like, for the first time, these trickles of excitement are coming back into the city. And I think that's what people are going to notice the most. You're not going to find, you know, barren streets of businesses that are boarded up and closed down. People have persevered their way through this. If you are coming to Edinburgh, just be the best you can to hospitality. If there are rules in place, follow it. If you can support local, follow it. If you're getting, you know, treats to take home or presents or whatever, shop local as well. Like, these are the places that really need it in Edinburgh. So if you're coming, come and support us.
Absolutely.
As well. We want you here, and the people who will be taking care of you, whether it's in a restaurant, shop, an experience, a tourist attraction, are all really excited to see you. So make sure that you make their lives easy as well. A lot of people have stormed back into hospitality and kind of forgotten their manners a little bit, in terms of, you know, they want to have these big blowouts and party and do things. But you have to remember, like, as scared as you are about COVID, imagine working in these places where they get a lot of foot traffic. Like, help people as well and be kind.
Yeah, I think that's such good advice, Dana. And it is so easily forgotten. I think you're so right. In the hype of, oh my God, we're going out to a restaurant and oh my goodness, we're going to have beers inside, you kind of forget that, oh, the person that's working there is, you know, has been working throughout this whole thing. And it's just, yeah, you're totally right.
We've all been hustling our way through this, you know, and you deserve, and like, for anyone coming to visit, like, please do, like, please come and do this, but don't waste your energy and time coming here and not getting to experience Edinburgh as it should. Follow, you know, tick off the tourist attractions, absolutely. But if you're going to do one thing that's a little bit off the beaten road, like, maybe go to that local business that the person at your hotel told you about, or you listen to a podcast like this, and I've named a couple of places. Maybe have a little Google of it and see what you think of it, and see if you can experience something a bit different, but something that's true to us here in Edinburgh.
You know, I think there are several things that people can take away from the pandemic time, but I think that there's a theme that keeps on coming back with travel, which is traveling local and supporting local businesses as you go. And I think certainly Edinburgh is one place, as you say, there's a tick list of stuff to do. There's the Royal Mile, there's Arthur's Seat, there's
going up to the castle.
Exactly.
You know, going up to the castle and going to Camera Obscura, which is like another one of my exceptions on my like tourist list, because it's hilarious. It's a massive big building of illusions. But
you know, also add to that, like, kind of doing something local. Like, one of the things on your Edinburgh list might be having a dram and trying some whiskey, and maybe go somewhere different. Go to Leith to do that rather than doing it somewhere around the Royal Mile.
Yeah, rather than like, sitting in the city centre. If you do go in the city centre, that's one thing that's so rich about Edinburgh, is that even its city centre isn't overly commercially owned.
Yeah.
Like, there is still a lot of businesses that you know the owners of, even in the city centre streets.
Yeah.
Because we're everywhere. Sorry, you just can't push out Edinburghers. We're everywhere. That's it. You know. But I just think it's being a positive traveller, in that if you're going somewhere, why would you go to the big massive chains that you could visit in your home city?
Yeah.
Like, this is your opportunity to really experience a new culture and attitude and all these mad experiences that you can have here in Edinburgh. So why not make the most of it?
And it's a win-win, because, as you say, like, you know, you get to experience those aspects of culture, but you also get to support the place that you're going to and enjoying. Like, you're enjoying it and you're supporting them as well.
And post-pandemic or in pandemic or whatever weird grey area we are in right now, there's nothing better you can do.
Yeah.
If you're going somewhere, then to follow that easy ethos of well, let's just support local while we're here. Let's ask a local what we should be doing.
That's a great mantra. Yeah, that's exactly. That's such a good attitude to kind of take. And we're recording this in July, and as we kind of mentioned, the Fringe is coming back in a lighter form before this goes out, really. But, you know, with this is going out in August, if any of our listeners are there right now, is there any top tips of things that are just starting to come back, new events and things that you're planning to do, particularly in August?
Yeah, I think the best thing to do is hit the events that you know that are going ahead in terms of, you know, Edinburgh food festivals are coming back, which is great. That's a huge exciting thing for us. That's like the Edinburgh Locals ultimate. Everyone gets really excited for like Edinburgh Food Festival, which is within that. The Edinburgh Book Festival is back and they are having sit-in events in the park, which is going to be so nice. Exciting. Everything is going to be slightly different. But if you can go and see shows in Edinburgh during the festival as well, if there are still performances on, something that's quite exciting about it for the first time ever really is that a lot of the shows are going to be UK companies.
The main thing about
the Fringe is that you have all these shows from all over the world, and this year weirdly it's going to be a lot of UK business, like companies that you might not actually have the time to see because of everything else. And that's not being like British is best or anything like that, not at all. I'd absolutely miss that, you know, everything that's multicultural and exciting about the Fringe and getting to see, you know, shows from all over the world. But be aware of that you're going to get to see like local Edinburgh companies showing off and doing their thing, which is, I think, also in a weird, it's that whole 50-50 catch-22 situation. There's something sad but equally exciting about that. So head down to Bristol Square and, you know, say George Street, where all these main Fringe hubs are. Get a brochure and see what's on. And if you have the opportunity to go and see these things in person, absolutely do. We've been stuck on Zoom calls and tuning into everything from gin tastings to like live streams and everything else of shows. If you are in Edinburgh, go and see them in person. I will be completely. I'm so excited.
Looking at you, Danielle. Are you gonna as a
oh my god, definitely. Yeah. I think it's so funny because I think the like Edinburgh Festival and the Fringe, you know, like Dana, you touched on it earlier, like Edinburgh folk love to hate on the festival and they're like, oh, it's so busy.
Absolutely. It's basically a personality trait if you're like from Edinburgh.
Honestly, like, yeah, everyone loves to hate on it and people are so surprised when we say that, but no, it's true. But I think this year, well, more than a year, I suppose, but it's shown how much locals actually really love it. Deep down, they're lying. They don't really hate it at all.
Absolutely. Like, look, guys, gloves are off. I'll admit it. Like, I'm moody about the Fringe normally. Like, I worked in hospitality. I worked in hospitality for years, and let me tell you what people forget. Oh, great, you can party till 5 in the morning, which our nightclub shut at 3, so we have an extended licence. That's great. I'm glad that you got to party and get pissed until 5 in the morning, but I work in the bar, so I'll be cleaning up until 7 a.m, and looks like I'm due back in for my next shift at 3 p.m. Great. So there's that bit about the Fringe that you always held, or you're like rushing to work and your route somehow goes through the Royal Mile and you're like pushing through quite literally oceans of people.
That is a disaster. And the bagpipes, like constant bagpipes. But like, actually, all of that stuff aside, I think that like there's such it brings such an energy, and I think it's so easy to take it for granted, and now we've had to do without it. I just think no one is going to do that anymore. I think the people that are going to be enjoying Edinburgh Festival the most this year, it's going to be Edinburghers. Like, we're going to be out there, like, reveling in it, I think. It's just...
Yeah, it's that classic, you don't know what you've got till it's gone, right? It's absolutely, yeah, you don't know exactly what you've got until it's gone.
Absolutely.
Like, I heard a soul bagpiper near the castle when I went for a walk the other day, and I was like, oh my god. Isn't that so beautiful? Whereas, like, 2 years ago, I would have literally rolled my eyes and been like, oh, shut up, I get it, I'm Scottish, okay, too, I know. Like, so it's been that attitude shift. So I'm excited for it to be back next month. And, well, if you're listening right now, you might be there living it right now and getting to do this. And if you are,
then
go and see Yeah, if you're not, come. Like, please come.
Yeah, come visit us.
And if you've never been before, speaking as an outsider, as someone who's never lived in Edinburgh, I've got friends who live in Edinburgh, but I've been to the festival a couple of times, and it is incredible. It's like, and you do get, I think Dana's sort of referred to it a little bit, but even in the city centre, you get that sense of community. You get that how important the city is, and it's a nice excuse to come up, celebrate the city, and maybe go and do a few different things, as Dana suggests as well. I think
there's nothing like it in the world. Truly, I've lived in lots of different places, but there's nothing that quite matches that electricity and excitement of the Edinburgh Fringe.
It's giving me goosebumps. Like, maybe I want to come back next month. Maybe I'll
definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I think
James, come
Dana,
visit.
I think
come visit.
I'll do it. It was. It's just a train ride, isn't it? So yeah, I'm sure I could do quite easily.
Exactly. Well, Dana, I think that you've successfully convinced everyone on this podcast to, well, James.
Yeah, yeah. I'm mean, here. Yeah, you're already there, Danielle. Remember where you are.
I know, and probably all of our listeners as well. Hopefully.
Yeah, yeah.
Come to Edinburgh and come support local.
Absolutely.
Yeah, come see us. You know where I am. I'm sat in Nauticus with a pint of Tennent's and a martini.
There you go. Well, thanks so much, Dana. That was it's truly brilliant to sort of have an insight into your Edinburgh, have an insight into your life of the past year. And, you know, I'm absolutely sure we could have talked for like 24 hours about food recommendations as well. So highly recommend all of our listeners to go and check out some of your work.
Thanks, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Once again, massive thank you to Dana. You can find her on at DanaMcAlpine_ on Twitter, and I would recommend following. She's a very entertaining follow.
As we mentioned, there'll be many, many more recommendations that you'll be able to get from that. And that kind of brings us to the end of our second season. So we are going to be taking a break for a couple of weeks, but be rest assured we'll be back with more travel inspiration and places where to go in a few weeks' time. But yeah, in the meantime, please tell your friends, like, subscribe, review, anything you want to do. If you've been liking the show, if you haven't, then no worries, that's totally fine. But that just leaves me to say a big thank you to Danielle as well for being a guest host today. Thank you, Danielle.
Oh, you're so, so welcome. You're really welcome. My pleasure, as always.
And thank you to you, listener. We'll see you very, very soon. Where to Go was produced by the team at DK Eyewitness, Julia Baker and Johnny Coddington at Bottle Rocket Recording. And this episode was presented by James Atkinson and Daniel Watt. For more information about DK Eyewitness, follow us on social media at DK Eyewitness or visit dk.com/eyewitness. Edinburgh is just one of the 100 cities featured in DK's new book, Great Cities. Telling the stories behind these inspirational and important places, the book delves into the social and cultural history of each, explaining how they've helped to shape the world we live in today. Pick up your copy in all good bookshops now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.